on the battlefield, if we're on that battlefield, we should be fighting hard. And the battle is for souls. First our own, and then to secure and help others secure their soul. And again, we welcome everyone out for as we continue on this Lord's Day in our time of worship. And the lessons that we have been engaging in and will continue upon as we are completing the topic of studies here in the month of May, the recognizing the voice of God, and preparing to move into June with dual lessons. The lesson of challenges to conquer is in line with the VBS study that we are engaging in. And as we look at those titles that have been presented to us through the VBS, we know Marooned, Steady Faith in Shifting Sands is the overall topic. So good things, great things, and so much that we can learn, and we'll have the opportunity to share with you and just have a good time in our study and strengthening our faith and bringing ourselves into a better understanding of God's word, that we will have the proper vision and the better prepared to battle on the field, to go forth and live a life of righteousness, and to not become marooned, shipwrecked, stranded in our spiritual life. This evening, I'm not going to keep you all long. I really mean that. As I look at us as an audience on the evening, I encourage and I thank you all for being faithful to the Lord today. This is our Lord's Day, and we should have the mind to worship Him as the opportunity presents itself in a full day of worship. Not only are you showing that you have a love, and as this morning in the reading, you really have a jealousy for the Lord, an unyielding faith, a total commitment for what is the Lord's. But also, don't you know, in doing that, we are giving support to those who are many upon this Lord's Day. This is their worship of today. This is not returning to worship. So we should be there to give support to everyone to have the experience of worshiping God, as which we are commanded to do together. So this evening, I'm going to not keep you long. But I have an interesting story that I want to start out in sharing with you. And this story I found was about two horses. Two horses in a field, the man went on to describe. And as he came past this pasture, this field, he observed these two horses. And from a distance, there was no great distinction about it. But as he approached the field or the pasture walking by, he noticed something about the larger, magnificent, strong horse. He stood out, caught his attention, but as he observed the horse closer, he observed that this horse was blind. Looking into the eyes of one of the horses, he saw closer that this horse was blind. As he went on further, he met the owner, and the owner told him that, yes, it was the horse that's been blind for quite a few years, but he did not have the heart to put him down. You know that old term, they shoot horses, don't you? You know what that means. Horse comes up lame, horse comes up in a condition where he cannot be a full function. They put him down, but he said he didn't have the heart to put the horse down. So what he had done, what had come about, he starts to tell him this story. He noticed that there was two horses in this field. And as he told him, if you just listen, you will hear something. As the man took the time to give attention to the field, he started to hear a sound of a bell. As he listened, he heard the sound of the bell. Looking around, he saw the source of the sound of the bell. Attached to the second horse, which was a much smaller horse, was a small bell. It let her lead the larger horse around. The way they had developed this relationship was they had attached a bell to the halter of the smaller horse. And as the horse, the smaller horse moved, the larger horse listened for him and would never get too far away from the sound of the bell. Her bell, she would listen for as the smaller horse walked along. The smaller horse had even come accustomed to not walking too far away from the larger horse. As they went into the barn in the evening, the smaller horse would walk and wait, giving the larger horse time to stay in a close proximity of the hearing of the bell. This caught this man's attention. So as he was standing watching these two friends, he could see how she was always checking on him. She would come close to make sure that she could, that he could hear. He would listen for her. If he didn't hear, he would stop, and she would make her return back to him that so he would not be led astray. And when she returned to the shelter of the barn each evening, she stopped occasionally and looked back, making sure her friend wasn't too far behind to hear the bell. Like the owner of these two horses, God does not throw us away just because we are not perfect or because we have problems or challenges. He watches over us, even brings others into our lives to help us when we are in need. We can get those types of examples through those stories of the Old Testament, like Ruth, even Esther. We are not island unto ourselves. This morning, we used Elijah to see how what got Elijah in trouble was when he started looking at himself as the only one. Sometimes, we are the blind horse being guided by the ringing of a little bell. That little bell may be those that God placed in your life. Other times, we may be the guide horse, helping those see. That may be that teaching perspective that you have been called to do, that you take for granted, that you don't take serious. Aren't you guiding? Aren't you wanting and waiting for someone to listen? Aren't you being patient with those who become? So in this matter, we are always either operating in one aspect or the, we are being guided or we are the guide. But in each case, it starts with learning to listen. So this evening, our topic will be listening. Oh, can you please listen? We have some good examples of this, but I want to approach it from a lesson that we find in John. John chapter 9, prospectively. And this is an interesting subject because it doesn't really start out about one listening. It starts out from the perspective of one being blind. One being blind. And chapter 9, and again, we're going to use these scriptures and make our points and take our seat and let you have the rest of your evening. But here in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, it starts out, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, and that he was born blind?" Isn't it interesting how they made the connection of being born in an imperfect condition? Must have been somebody that did something wrong. Do you realize people still have that perspective today? That if you ain't, that's something wrong. Somebody did something wrong because you ain't right. Well, we all, guess what? You don't have to guess. We all, when it comes to spiritual perspective, we are born spiritually blind. And that's something that we need to say. We are all born spiritually blind. You need to be guided spiritually from the time that you enter into this world. But he goes on with this. Jesus answers, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus, Lord and Savior, is the light of the world. We are not born with that light, but that light is in the world, and we have to be taught to see it. But again, remember, my lesson is on listening. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, or Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Blind man heard Jesus, listened to what Jesus had to say, obeyed what he had to say, and now he is no longer blind. He can see. Remember, he was born this way. This man had been using something all of his life that some had failed to do. He had become, in his world, he had to operate by listening. He listened to what Jesus had to say. He heard it and he obeyed it. And he has his sight. But that's where his problem starts, Brother Neil. He listened, he had sight, and when he had spoken as he spake, verse 7, it said, go wash. 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. I'm him. This is what the blind man said. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. He explained it. He did it. That's what he had heard. That's what he did. And I received my sight. And then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. In verse 13, here's an interesting perspective. After he had told them what had occurred, after he explained to them how he had received the sight and who had done it, they brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. What you going to the Pharisees for? The Pharisees were the religious leaders of that time. The Pharisees were the ones who had been doing the teaching of that time. Usually the one who taught in the synagogues where they had been gathering and learning of God and the prophets and Moses and the teaching was usually a Pharisee. They brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I wash and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Are they listening to what the man is saying? He said, Jesus anointed my eyes, told me to go wash, and that's how I received my sight. But they cannot see something that is right before their eyes. What has just been done for them was a fulfillment of the prophecy of how you would see the Messiah. The miracles of giving sight to the blind was one of the messianic prophecies. Nobody had done that before. God hadn't allowed it. These were going to be perfect signs and the symbols. When one comes doing these things, this would be Messiah. And as much teaching as they had, matter of fact, the only teaching they had was Moses and the prophets. They didn't see this. Or maybe I should say, they hadn't heard this. They weren't listening to the things that had been taught every Sabbath day in the Sabbath. Matter of fact, it's a Sabbath day. I wonder what was they listening to in Sabbath day service. We assemble ourselves on the first day of Sabbath day service. What had they read? The only thing they could have studied and read would have been Moses, the teaching of Moses, and the teaching of the prophets. But it goes on further. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And others were what's divided among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he said, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Oh. What he heard and what he was instructed to do, and it came to pass, made him determine what he had heard and what he was told and what he did and what occurred. He lined it up perfectly in the teaching that he had heard. Remember, he's been blind from his birth. He has not seen anything, but he has heard things. What had he heard? Where had he heard these things at? Do you think that maybe on those Sabbath days when they were in the synagogue reading, he was listening to what was spoken of by the prophets of how you would identify a true prophet versus a false prophet? If a prophet speaks a thing and it comes to pass, he is a true prophet. If a prophet tells you something and it doesn't come to pass, he's a false prophet. He had no problem determining. What do you say about it? I say he's a prophet. I say that he is a prophet. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received the sight. So what do? We don't even believe you're blind. You ain't been blind. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? From his birth, all those that knew him knew that this man could not see. But now, after what has occurred and what they have heard, they ain't hearing it. Matter of fact, they go back to the point that he's lying. You ain't never really been blind. You never been blind and received your sight until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? And you listen to the words of you. They didn't say, is this your son that was blind? Is this your son whom you say was born blind? In other words, for all these years, he's been just faking it. They didn't They said unto him, answer, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? The parents answered, verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that he is our son, and that he was born blind, this we know. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. In that culture, being of age, this man had to at least be 40 years old. You realize that? In the culture of the Jews, to be of age where you had full considered control of your life, it went 18 and out. This man had to be at least around 40 years old. He's of age, you ask him. So again, the question goes forth. But here's the case. Nobody's hearing what he is saying. The man without sight had listened and obeyed. Not only had he listened to Jesus, he had been listening to things that had been spoken. Those with sight had been saying a whole lot, but had not been listening. Here's a case of physical blindness, but spiritual sight, versus those with physical sight and spiritual blindness and deafness. They can't see spiritually, nor are they understanding spiritually. He goes on now to make the case of their problem. 21, but by what means is he now seeth? We know not, or who has opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. 22, these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They don't want to hear this, and they don't want nobody speaking about it. I think in one of our classes, in one of our lessons, as a kid, sometimes you play that game, you put your hands on your ears, I can't hear you, you talk real loud to drown out something that you don't want to hear. Spiritually, we do that too. This is a case where the signs have been spoken, the words have been spoken by the prophets of old, and Jesus is coming along, and those signs, those miracles, those occasions are speaking loudly. They are announcing the arrival of the Messiah, but they don't want to hear it, to the point that anybody's confessing, we confess with our mouth and our life. If you're doing that type of action around those Pharisees, you can't even come to church. Put them out of the synagogue. That's what they had, how they had solved that problem of not even giving an ear to anyone that was confessing him as the Christ. 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Give praise to God. We know that this man is a sinner. The blind man who was blind from his birth, who at this time, on this very day, that he now has been given his sight, one who has only heard things spoken to him, but he has listened. He goes on to make his case based on what he had heard, what he had been listening to for all these years of his life. The very things that he had heard was the things that had been spoken by the religious leaders. Things he had heard from the time of being a child, growing up as a Jew. Things that were read and spoken in the synagogues all of his life up to this point. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. He said, one thing I know. He said, he even said there's something that I think, there's something that maybe. He said, one thing I know. One thing I know. That
Whereas I was blind, now I see. For I know I was blind, but now I'm able to see. I know this. Then said they to him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Now he's told them. He's from the beginning. The question was asked, and he told them. But nobody's listening to him. Isn't that a frustrating situation? When you're telling, you're answering the question, and you're not listening. Answering a question with a question. You're not listening. I told you what he did. He spit, made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash, told me specifically where to go wash, and now I see. And that action that he did there brought me to the conclusion that if he was able to tell me something and it come to pass, he's a prophet. Now, if he be a sinner or not, all I know is I listened, I obeyed, I was blind, now I see. But listen to how the conversation takes a turn now. Verse 26. Then said they unto him again, what did he do thee? How did he open the eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you did not hear me. I like that. He didn't say you didn't believe me. He said you didn't hear me. It's many times when you're talking to someone, and especially when you got God's word open, you got the Bible open, and you let a person read for themselves. That's why in our Bible classes and Bible lessons, the one person about you let a person read what God's word say. And guess what? They'll still turn to you and say, so what are you saying? What are you saying? And this is what they're asking the man. He said, you ain't hear me. He asked them, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? If I tell it to you again, you're going to believe on him? You're going to be his disciples? Oh. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Interesting fact. It was Moses, the lawgiver. It was Moses, the one who was the mediator with God for his people. It was Moses who spoke to them that God was going to raise up one like it unto me that would save his people from their sins. It started with Moses in the laws, and it continued to be proclaimed through those prophets who gave them clear indication of how to recognize Messiah. And oh, by the way, at this time you have had John out there preaching at the Jordan, repent for the kingdom is at hand. And he has already been identified as the one who takes away the sins of man, as the Messiah, and that's where their problem is. They don't like what they see, so they will not hear him nor anyone that is speaking in his name. And today we can find ourselves in that same perspective. I will not listen even though I'm wanting to hear. But what is it that I want to hear? What is it that I'm listening for? And that's a battle that will continue with us coming to the Lord. Many hear, but they won't obey because it's not what I want to hear. That's not the way I've heard it before. But that's the way God has said it. Makes the difference. As we come into the body, many times as we struggle with things in our life, meeting our challenges, it's not what I want to hear, but that's the way God has said it. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. They know that God spoke unto Moses. How do they know that? The scriptures revealed it. Well, how would they know a prophet of God? The same scriptures that would tell them what God said to Moses would be the same scriptures that would tell them how to identify the one coming likened unto Moses, Messiah. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God here is not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. How can this blind man who has never saw speak like this? He had been listening. He had heard these things. Was he on point with what he said? Maybe he had been listening to Psalms 18:41. Let's see what Psalms 18:41 says. He didn't read it. Somewhere along the line, he had been given an ear to the things that was being spoken by the prophets and the teaching and the things that had been spoken concerning God and how God works in the life of his people. In Psalms chapter 18 and verse 41, it opens with this. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt of the street. Maybe he had also been listening to Psalms 38. 34 and 15. Somewhere along the line, maybe he had heard these things spoken. Remember, he was blind. He was the one who could not see. And the Psalms, the 34th Psalms, and the 15th verse, it gives us this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off their remembrance of them from the earth. Wow. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivers them out of all their troubles. Maybe somewhere in his life of blindness, he had even heard Psalm 66 and 16 through 20. In the 66th Psalm, starting at verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was atoned with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Somewhere along the line, he has come to understand in what he has heard that God don't answer sinners, but he hears and answers those who are practicing righteousness. He made it clear. He said, no, this is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man is a worshiper of God, he does and does his will him he hears. And verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could not do. He could do nothing. This is what he had heard. And in his hearing, what he had listened to gave him no doubt in his mind that he was a prophet and that he was a man of God, because all he knew, he said, I know I was blind, but now I see. Them who had eyes to see the physical world were coming more blinder and more deafer to what God was saying and what God was showing them because of their spiritual condition, because of their hardening of their heart, because of their disobedient ways in the things that God was saying. They answered verse 34, and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. Remember, it started out with his disciples asking, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now the teachers, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, answer him and says, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? No, he's not teaching them. He's just repeating what he had heard through the teaching that had been with them all of their days. But they never heard it. They said it, but they were not hearing it. They saw it, but they were blind to it. Spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness is the thing that will cause many to be lost. Jesus in his teaching of those days, remember he made that statement, leave them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind. In my story that I opened you all with, it was a blind horse being led by a horse that had sight. And with the bell, the noise, the message that was being read was to follow me, and the trust that the horse had put in the other, his close friend, even though he was a mighty, powerful horse, he needed something that the other horse had, and that was sight. And by trusting him is how he was able to navigate and thus made himself still useful to his master, that he was not being destroyed. We are in that same condition today. It's our trust in God and listening to him is how we are guided. But one another, we guide one another. We teach one another. We help one another. The companionship that we need. And if we will just listen to God's word, no matter who it comes from, a child can tell you something of the Lord if it's what the Lord, thus says the Lord. Who are you, 10 years old, and going to tell me what the Lord said? Yes. If the 10-year-old tells you what thus says the Lord and you are standing in the light of it, well, thank God that he sent a 10-year-old to tell you. We are the Lord's church today, and we cannot allow ourselves to become spiritually blind to the things that God wants us to see. We hear so much today in our Lord's church of how those who have so much sight of the world and worldly knowledge how are becoming blind and becoming leaders, blind leaders, blinding those in who are following them. These were God's people. This was the Jews. They had Moses, who was the lawgiver, and they had the teaching of the prophets. But look how spiritually blind and how spiritually deaf they had become, to the point that when the very miracles that was supposed to bring show them clearly who the Messiah was, they could not see it, and nor did they could they hear it or desire to hear it, thus condemning themselves. We can be in that same condition today. We turn a deaf ear to what thus says the Lord because we are not desirous of the messenger, or it's not spoken the way I care to hear it, and become spiritual blind where we can see and make those statements. I don't see anything wrong. And you fill in the blanks with that. I told you my message would be short this evening. I'm bringing it to a close. The blind man who was made to given sight by Jesus. Those religious leaders who could not see nor listen to what he was are proclaiming, the blind man who had listened all his life and had a great understanding of how God works and what was could be discerned as of God and what was to be dismissed as that of sin. Let us not be or become spiritually blind or deaf. Let us not stay dull of hearing and limited in our sight. We have great opportunity to learn, to grow, and become, have great spiritual sight. Seeing that unseen. I'll tell you, I'm going to get Brother Neil to help me work that lesson out. Seeing that unseen is something that every Christian should come. We have spiritual sight. We have spiritual sight. We have the ability and all we need to see clearly and make a good discernment of what we hear and see from a spiritual perspective. That's my message. Look among us, and I see us as a church family this evening. But if there's any among us that have not obeyed the gospel, hear what the Lord has to say. We have to hear. We have to believe. We have to repent of the things that we are doing. Turn to God, making the confession that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, acting upon that in faith into the grave of the water grave of baptism, and rising to walk. Continue now with a spiritual ear and eyes to see and become hearers, not only hearers, but doers of the will of God. And if I've been walking contrary to that in my spiritual life, if I become a little dull, many times when you get a little dull in hearing, God speaks to us. Listen to those bells. Listen for the voice. Listen for the sounds of God. That's the lesson I open with. The horse would stop and listen for the bell. The other one would not move too far so he could not hear him. That's what we have one another for. That's why we assemble ourselves. That's why we have our study time. That's why it's not good to leave the church, leaving the assemblies, distancing myself. Satan seeks those who he can destroy by moving you away from the voice of God. I close. If there's any here this evening that need to obey the gospel, come forth, give your hand unto the brothers, your heart to God, and be baptized into the body of Christ. If there's any that need to make confession, you can do so as we give forth the song of invitation.